Thank you so much for joining us on Global IQ Minute. At the conclusion of the Durban talks last December, Canada formally withdrew from the Kyoto Protocol, an agreement that you supported wholeheartedly while you were in office. In your view, what were the key reasons for Canada's withdrawal, and what has been the impact within the international community?
It's definitively the oil lobby that put a lot of pressure on Mr. Harper to do that. You know, he's from Alberta, and he had opposed my move to go to Kyoto. I think it was a very bad move in my judgment. Of course, the argument was that we could not meet the target. But it's better to go to 95 than to go to zero. You know, a target is something that you hope to achieve, but you might not be able to achieve. And, you know, we have a different problems than other nations. Canada, we're not really polluting a lot because we are a small population in the biggest country, in the second biggest country in the world. So relatively, we don't have as much of a problem like, say, Netherlands or Belgium. But one of the difficulties is the distance caused the trucks to travel thousands of miles to take a truck of lumber, to say, from the north of Quebec to the state of New York. They pollute a lot, but in rural Quebec, it's not causing pollution because it's very, very bad. But the Canadian prestige suffered because we tend to be part of any movement that is progressist in society. And, you know, the environment is a big preoccupation. Climate change is a problem. And even if you can argue that we could not achieve the goal, it was better, as I said, to have 90 or 95% of the goal than to quit.
There were strong reactions in the international community about Canada's withdrawal, wasn't there?
Unfortunately, the image of our country suffered a lot out of it.
But it is a challenge for a country like Canada with such emphasis on the energy economy to reconcile some of this with environmental concerns.
Yes and no. I think that they're making the oil industry with the tar sand, where is the main problem is being caused. They're making a lot of progress in the technology, and you know, sometimes you look on TV, they advertise, you know, to reassure the people, and they are rebuilding the area beautifully. You know, they put back the sand and they put the trees and parks and over that part of the world and my part of the country. I think that they're making a lot of progress, but the oil is there, and the tar sand, we have as much reserve of oil, but in the form of tar sand, than they have oil in Saudi Arabia.
Another issue that has generated a lot of concern is the Keystone Pipeline, including recently the possibility that Canada might sell more of its product to Asia, and specifically China.
Yeah, but I cannot blame the Prime Minister over that. If you don't want to buy our oil, we'll sell it to somebody else. It's your problem, it's not our problem. And for the environmentalists to complain about what we do in Canada, you know, it's in Canada. We don't tell them what to do in the United States. And as I just expressed the view, that the industry is working very hard to reduce the level of pollution. But there will always be some pollution. And it's inevitable. But I know this part of the world quite well because I was Minister of Indian and Northern Affairs, and I traveled in these northern parts of Manitoba and Saskatchewan all my life. And to restore it to what it was before, it will not be that difficult because there was not big forest and it was not good land for agriculture and so on. The farmers will not farm these land very much because the winter season is too long.
Sir, I'd like to take you back 10 years ago when you were Prime Minister on 9/11, 2001. How did you learn about the terrorist act, and what was your reaction? What were the first acts that you did?
Oh, I was home with the premier, and somebody came and he said there is a big problem. So I went there and I saw the second plane landing. It was a big tragedy for America, no doubt about it, and for the world. For us, we had to make a very quick decision because there was a lot of American planes in the air, and they block all the airports in the United States. So we took thousands of Americans who had no place to go, but in the province of Newfoundland, for example, you know, they receive thousands of people and in their homes, and they make beds, and so we help as much as we could, because it was a big tragedy, and you know, we supported them as much as we, as the world did. You know, the support of America was unanimous around the globe. It was very moving to see that. Of course, there was a putting apart of the decision to go to Iraq.
And I wanted to ask you about that.
Yes, I could feel it. yes, but, you know, we, you know, for us, we were asked, and President Fox and I, we were in the discussion at that time. He was the brand new president. And, so we discussed, and he replaced, you know, Mexico replaced Canada on the Security Council in the first of January 2001, and they replaced us, but we were very much involved in the negotiation before for a resolution at the UN and so on. And the position that we had, and the Americans were informed of that, that we will not support if they didn't have a proper resolution from the UN. And I told them that to have the support of the UN, they will need better proof of weapons of mass destruction. I was privy to a lot of their information because we exchanged security information, Canada, Great Britain, and America. And I was by far not convinced. I wrote in my book that there was not, in my judgment, enough proof to convince the judge at the municipal court in Shawinigan, my hometown.
Interesting. Tony Blair pushed you pretty hard, though, didn't he?
Yes and no. I think they put more pressure on Mexico and Chile than on me because they were sure I was to be there. They were very surprised that Canada was there because it was the first time there was a war where the Brits and the Americans were involved and the Canadians were not there. And so one time discussing with the Chief of Staff of Mr. Bush, I said, "You're mad at me?" He said, "No." He said, "We're disappointed, but we should have listened to you when you, I told them early in the game what was the position for us to be. And but Mr. Fox had the same dilemma. They wanted to be among the willing, and he came to the same conclusion than I, that it was a mistake to have a war in Iraq.
Thank you very much for sharing your perspective with us today, and welcome to Fort Worth.